To us, Hanukkah is the feast that exists without which no other feast would be possible. Hanukkah is the point in time in which, without it, we'd be without hope. We would be without anything. Hanukkah is the feast that we celebrate, that if it wasn't for Hanukkah, you would recognize the world as total vanity, you are total vanity, and you would have no hope. Hanukkah is the feast of apparent darkness. When there's no hope. And so with that as a preamble, the cup of sanctification is drunk before every feast. It's blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us and kept us and allowed us to reach this time. Remember, the Jews never celebrate a place. They celebrate only the time to life. That's a very good wine. That's the kind of wine that I predict that Pam doesn't like, though. In AD 165 or so, in AD 162 actually, the Syrians, Antiochus Epiphanes to be exact, came in and took over. They were part of the Seleucid kingdom.
BC, right?
BC. They came into the Holy Land and sacked Jerusalem and took out all of the artifacts of the temple and desecrated the temple, built an altar to false gods within the temple, and for 3 years the Maccabeans fought against them to try to regain the rights to the temple. On the 25th of Kislew, which is the corresponds to our month of December, the Maccabeans, which were another name from the Hasmoneans, entered the temple, defeated the Syrians, and took control of the temple. Under the law, the oil, first of all, the law in Exodus commanded that the light always be burning. It must always burn, the light on the candelabra do you know what I'm talking about, inside the holy place. They only found one flagon of oil that had the high priest's signet on it, and that was normally enough for one day. Now the high priest had left Jerusalem and was 8 days' journey away in a place called Thekoa. And so when Judas Maccabee entered the temple, he found only this one flagon of oil, olive oil. And that was only enough to keep the lamp burning for one day. And they knew that there was 8 days required. And so by him lighting the lamp, even though the fact that it hasn't been lit for 3 years now, or a little over three, it's 3 years exactly, in fact, since the Maccabeans destroyed or defiled the temple, then he's got a choice. He can either light the lamp and pray for a miracle and thereby risk the fact that the temple may fall into other hands, or he lights the lamp and hopes something takes place. Well, he lit the lamp using this one flagon of oil that had the high priest's seal on it, and that's to ensure that it wasn't mixed, and it symbolized the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit wasn't mixed with anything of the world. And then he had to wait for a period of time until the rest of the oil or the supply could be sanctified and brought, sanctified by the high priest, certified by the high priest, and brought to Jerusalem. So the celebration of Hanukkah, it's called in almost all ancient literature the dedication of the altar. And it's the celebration whereby the lamp or the oil for one day, by miracle, lasted 8 days. And that's why the 8 candles. Now, there's 2 schools of thought on the lighting of the candles. There's, as always, and it's between Hillel and Shammai. Hillel says you light one light the first night, 2 the second, 3 the third, 4 the fourth, etc., until all 8 are lit. Shammai says that you light all 8 the first night, and then each night there's one less lit until on the 8th day there's but 1. Because it corresponds to the Feast of Tabernacles. You remember the 13 bullocks there? The first day, 12 and the second. So it's a descending order. Well, I prefer the Shammai school of thought because it indicates that there are many, many other lights, apparent lights. But on the 8th day, there's only 1 light. Now, before we do the next thing of lighting the lights, we'll go ahead and light all 8 of them. But I want to. There's an interesting concept that the feast has a theme of the festival, and the theme is, quote, a great miracle happened here. Now that, and in Hebrew it's Nes Gadol Hayasham, and those are 4 Hebrew words to say a great, and it means a super great miracle happened here. Now, if any of you know anything about Jewish thought, there's a top that's spun as a game. That's the Hanukkah top. It's called a dreidel, and it's 4-sided. It's 4 sides on it, and each one of the 4 sides corresponds to the first letter of that Nes Gadol Hayasham. So that in spinning it, it causes the kids to keep this in mind, that always a great miracle happened here. And the only law, if you will, or rule that applies to Hanukkah is as you gaze on the light, you are to be reminded of the miracle. Now, all the texts in the New Testament that talk about that he is the light of the world, he's the light that lighteth all men, but men love darkness rather than light, is the real celebration of Hanukkah. Everybody understand? Now, it's customary that the woman of the house light the candles. Now, again, what they've done in modern Jewry is the kids light them, but that's not the case. The reason the woman lights it is because the woman brought the light into the world. And so, Joyce Anna, I want you to light them. And then there's a benediction that we will read here. It's blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by his Torah and commanded us concerning the kindling of the light of Hanukkah.
So what's the real meaning?
Now, I want us to go to Nazareth. And we're in the house of Mary. And it's on Hanukkah. and she's lighting the candles. And she somehow is overwhelmed by something. And then an annunciation takes place. But before we get to that annunciation, I want to try to recreate in your minds what was going on in the minds of the people in Nazareth, in Judea, in all of the world, is that for that matter, to know what to feel or try to recreate the situation that you're in. Okay? Well, first of all, if you're in Nazareth, you're under a foreign power. It's no longer 165, it's now 3 BC, approximately. You're a 13 or 14-year-old girl. And you've been betrothed in an arranged marriage to a man that's considerably older than you. And you're a virgin. You've never known or touched a man. But try to put yourself back to the condition you were when you were 13 or 14 years old. The hopes, the expectations, yet the confusion, yet the feeling that was in every one of you, and the same as it was in the men in a different way, that there's something special about me. Well, that's the situation with Mary. She didn't care about politics. She didn't really care about religion. She cared about a personal sense. There's sort of a charm or humility that knows that there's something special in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, let's stop there, and I want to try to review. What other documents were saying that existed around this time? From the Psalter of Solomon, well, there's several of them, the Book of Enoch, the Sibylline Oracles, the Psalter of Solomon, the Book of Jubilees, all these were books that at one time or another in Jewish law were canon, and then they're no longer canon. You understand that? But these were books that were read from which the Jews got their expectations of Messiah. Now, the Sibylline Oracles had to say that four things had to take place with regard to Messiah. Now, remember I've told you before, there were 400 people in and around the time of Christ that claimed to be Messiah. You understand that? Do you understand what Messiah means? It's Jesus' last name. It means the singular, the only anointed one. And the word Jesus means one who saves, or the one who, the salvation or deliverance, or those kinds of words, or help, or so all these kinds of images and words. The Magi saw that he was, as those of you in bananas know, that he was the coma predicted in the stars, or the desired of the nations. He was the desired one of all people. He was the one in whom all of their hopes and expectations were centered. Now, all of you have gone through life, and you still are. I want you to come to the position where you are in the same place as Mary was. You have a hope, but you're not too sure about it. You're confronted with problems all over the place. But the celebration of Hanukkah is, in truth, the celebration of the silent or unseen beginning of your desired one. The stage had been set in history, and the Sibylline Oracles, the Messiah had to have four things happen. The temple had to be rebuilt. The dispersed had to be restored. The Messiah would do all this, and all nations would bring their wealth to the house of God. In the Psalter of Solomon, it says, "The king, the son of David, having purged Jerusalem and destroyed the heathen by the word of his mouth, would gather together a holy people, which he would rule with justice, dividing land according to tribes, when no stranger could dwell among them."
What was the fourth thing there? We had the temple rebuilt, dispersed, restored.
The Messiah present.
Okay, yeah.
The book of Jubilee says, "For its wickedness Israel had been scattered. God would gather them from all the midst of heaven and build among them his sanctuary and dwell among or in them. The sanctuary was to then be forever and ever, and God would appear to the eye of everyone, and Zion and Jerusalem would be holy." And the book of Esdras, it says that this Messiah, the Son of God, would deliver the creatures by him. He was to appear suddenly in the form of a man, and from his mouth would proceed alike woe and fire and storm. And they shall all gather together for war against him, but he shall stand in Mount Zion and Jerusalem. He shall, and the new Jerusalem shall come down from heaven prepared and ready, and he shall destroy all his enemies. A peaceable multitude shall be gathered to him, and of the Son and those with him, no one on earth would be able to see or know them till the day of his appearing. That's pretty heavy. Now, Philo, who was the main teacher of the Hellenistic or the Greek Jews, and many, many others, I mean, he had hordes of followers at this time. In his writings, he said, "However low the condition, however scattered the people, the banished on a given sign would be set free in one day. Their sudden conversion to virtue would make their masters release them, ashamed to hold them in bondage. Then, as by one impulse, the dispersed would return from the north, the south, the east, and the west, led by the divine superhuman Messiah, invisible to others. On arrival in the promised land, the waste places in the wilderness would suddenly be inhabited, and the barren would be transformed to fruitfulness." Now these, what I'm trying to build in your mind is their problems, yet their expectations of what was about to happen. The mood of the country, the mood of the world, was that Messiah was about to come. The stars had predicted it. The wisdom of the ages had predicted it. The wisdom of Enoch had predicted it. The beginning of all wisdom, the beginning of all myths, the beginning of all prophecies, said that the seed of a woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. Now, there's no such thing as a seed of a woman. Because the word is sperm. A woman doesn't have sperm. So in Genesis, it predicted a divine birth, divine conception. But it also, it's not just in Genesis. I want you to, if you analyze all ancient myths, they all have this germ of truth that was prostituted slowly but surely through the centuries. Just as what's the potential that could happen in us, that we have a germ of truth, but slowly because of man-pleasing, it's prostituted through this time. And that's exactly what's happened. And what was happening, the only purpose of Israel was that they were the oracle people. Their function was to keep that original prophecy pure. You understand that? That's the only purpose they existed. Now, they kept it pure in bloodline and in word. But if you look at these ancient documents, they all expected a Messiah of one sort or another. And they may not have called him that. There was something or someone that was going to come at some point in time that would solve all of their problems. And then everything would be great afterwards. Well, what we're talking about here on Hanukkah is it's the mystery that took place in that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. The Holy Spirit impregnated Mary on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah, I'm convinced. And on that point in time, when, according to the Shammai school, there was but one candle left that was about to go out even, then that light that lighteth all men, its potential was, it's now alive. His own right arm has gotten him in the victory. But the mood around there was they knew that all law, all prophecies, and all holy service pointed towards this one seed of woman. She was this desired of the nations, the sure word to the scattered and the oppressed everywhere. And there they were to take heed as to the light that was shining in the dark place, until a day dawn and the day star arise in their hearts. In the same way that in Mary there was the birth was hidden, or the conception was hidden for a period of time. It was probably hidden for 3.5 months if you want to go through this interesting symbolism in Daniel. And then she gave birth. In us it's hidden until a time appointed of the Father. But your hopes and your expectations are based on this singular fact that he is the light that lighteth you. If that doesn't exist, forget all laws, forget all rules, forget all rules of behavior, forget all of your little stupid moral systems and values and shoulds and shouldn'ts. If this Hanukkah, this dedication of the altar, has not taken place in you, if he's not resurrected there, then you're without hope. And all of the things that you are doing are for naught, for vanity. It's air chasing air. If he is there, and if you know in your mind he is there, then you are without excuse for any other position than joy. You understand? That's the singular thing that's going on in your life. Don't you get tired of talking about the other shit? This hope that they were hoping for is what gave meaning to their worship. It gave life to their law. It gave a purpose of living. It's what made them unique among all peoples of the world because of their common creed, their common Jerusalem, and their common hope. Every other nation of the world, their religion has denigrated up to this point. It's gone up and down, and somebody got an idea, and there was a Messiah here and a Messiah there, and there was somebody over here, there was a new leader, there was another Muhammad or another Buddha, or not some other man to follow, some other ideas to try not to, that they could live by, but they couldn't ever make it. But now a mystery has taken place. The desired of the nations has taken up residence in flesh. Amen? Amen. This is what separated, this hope is what separated them from all other people. How in the hell did Israel maintain a separate identity for all these centuries? And I guarantee you that we talk about, you know, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and your stupid little worries about whether or not, you know, you can have fellowship with somebody over here or over there. You will not have fellowship. It's not an option. You will not have fellowship unless you have this common understanding. You'll either sell one out or the other. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, so again, we're back to Mary in Nazareth, teenager. Probably rebellious, in spite of the imagery of the Catholic Church. Probably rebelling against her elders. Probably questioning everything. But she knew something. She had this hope, this expectation that has at one time been common to all of you. It's something, you know, not to borrow some phrase of somebody that may die soon, but something wonderful is going to happen to you. At any moment, the tidings may burst upon them that the desire to the nations had come. Then their glory would shine from one end of heaven to the other. Now, do you understand the setting of this Hanukkah in 3 BC? In Nazareth, the expectations. Yet, I mean, they were under foreign rule, they were poor. Now let's see what happened in that Hanukkah. It was foretold a few months earlier. Let me start in verse 26 of Luke 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Gabriel's an important angel, by the way. Gabriel and Michael are two angels you don't want to get mad at you.
You
want to
keep them on your good side?
You want to keep them on your good side.
From Jersey.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. You know what Mary means?
Bitter.
Hmm?
Bitter.
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 Bitter. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now you got to know something, right? Mary's position wasn't any different than what's his name? Some Judges.
Gideon.
Gideon said when a similar apparition happened, he says, Right. If God be for us, then why has all this befallen us?
Was that Gideon too?
Huh?
That was Gideon. I mean, Gabriel.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I don't think it was.
And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You know, in the way we see this in the child in the movies and stuff, and in your Sunday school lessons. Mary's this sweet little girl, and she looks up, and her face is brightly shining. She says, Oh, wow, thank you, God.
I'm going to have a what?
Mary is... She was blessed because of her lineage. Because the seed of woman... The seed, I mean, starting back at Genesis, had been protected through that line. That's what this whole book is about. Everything in this scripture is about protecting that line. So it's not defiled by everything that's hither and to. But knowing anything about human nature and knowing what God demands, Mary
the word, her name itself says she was a little bit, she was kind of, how can I say it? Cynical. She was a cynic. She had to recognize the vanity of men. That's what made her blessed. Am I communicating at all?
Yeah.
She was in that generation gap point, that age of rebellion, which you all went through, in which you had you'd rejected all the value systems of your elders. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. In an insignificant little town in Galilee, which was the most despised place of Judea, I mean by the Judeans, it's called Galilee of the Nations, that's where they made fun of them because they couldn't say the Hebrew words correctly.
It's like Bog Springs.
She comes from a poor family. She's espoused to someone that's poor and uneducated. And here this joker comes to her and says, You are highly favored, blessed art thou among women. That the God of the universe had chosen her to take up residence in. I mean, it's not the pictures you see on medieval art, or it's not, you know, it's not this. But this is taking place. He's probably just lit the candles. Now this joker, this angel, this messenger of God has come to her and said, You are the most fortunate person in the history of the known universe. Sound familiar? You are the most fortunate of all people. Your life has now come to its purpose. You are why time and space was created. Blessed art thou among women, you are highly favored by Jehovah. Well, I'm a messenger, folks. Messenger in the Greek, I'm an angel. That's the role of sitting here. And I have come to tell you on this Hanukkah that you are the most fortunate people that have ever lived, and you are the luckiest person that has ever personally been here. Now you can abort the child if you want to, but the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
You understand a little bit? Can you relate to Mary a little bit, though? Right. But that's why this is written. It's for our comfort. So we can see that it was true then, it's true now. Don't take it lightly anymore. What, do you want a bigger angel? You want a meaner angel?
No.
You want an angel named Sam?
I was saying a lot of times these angels just showed up as people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just walk in and, you know, it's like to Abraham, three guys walking down the road.
That's why the role of this from the Bema, from the place of teaching, the person that sits in that is called the angel. Do you understand Hanukkah a little bit better now?
Much. Makes me laugh now. I was reading articles around Christmas time about how the Jews were trying to, you know, play up Hanukkah because it was being overshadowed by Christmas.
Right.
I wouldn't say that's entirely necessary.
Okay. Again, hail. When an angel says to you, hail.
Well, hey, it's better than hello.
Thank
No, I mean, it's sort of like, this is a good thing that's about to happen, and pay attention. This is good stuff. When the angel says, whoa, two or three times in a row, then you sort of want to get scared a little bit. Right. But when the angel says, hail, it's sort of good news, folks. You got that? Hail. I'm an angel. I'm saying hail. You got it? Are you hailing?
Hail yes.
Hear that shit all the time down here. Hail.
Hail. Thou art highly favored. More favored than you can ever dream of. From this point forward, you own all things. All things exist for your purpose. You are an heir of God. You don't have to struggle with anything anymore. You just have to let the birth process happen naturally. Hail! Thou art highly favored. Blessed art thou among women. No, it's talking to us as one, as a woman, as a bride. When she saw him, she was troubled. She asked for that in a minute. And when she saw him and heard him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, what the hell's going on? What she said is, what manner of... You see, you got to be careful of guys like this that write. She's troubled in her mind, and she's running this around in her mind, and you can imagine her speaking this. What manner of salutation this should be? No, that's not what that means. She says, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
What is this crap?
Blessed.
I mean, at that point, she did not realize he was an angel.
Would you? I would.
Don't place these people any different than you are. Otherwise, you will always place them on some pedestal.
Yeah.
They are exactly like you.
Unmarried and just
going to
have a baby.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. But the point is, I want you to translate. It's like Targum, what it's, I mean, you know, when it says she was troubled and cast about in her mind what manner of salutation this should be, you got to put that in your own words a little bit. I mean, she's saying, man, this has staggering implications.
This guy's jerking me around.
Maybe he's true. What if this is true? I mean, do you understand? Don't make it religious so that you can dismiss it. If you can make it religious in your mind, you'll dismiss it. You've got to put it in your own language to your own mindset to see how you'd respond, otherwise you will dismiss this.
You think she might have suspected that Joseph might have sent this guy over to
Everything.
How am I going to hide it?
Well, she's not there yet. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. No. Something is happening now, though. Something is changing in her countenance. Because the angel knew she was afraid without her saying anything. He saw through and he spoke to her what he saw in her mind. And he said, if you can't cast off what's troubling you at this instant, then you better leave the room. He said, if your mind, if that lying thing has so many opinions in it that it can't hear the greatest thing that has ever happened, then either cast off your mind and accept the joy, or you have to leave. there are so many cares of this world that are troubling you, they're going to choke out that seed anyway. Why should I worry about planting it in the first place? Am I communicating a little bit? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus, the word in the Hebrew is Yeshua, Savior, Deliverer, Desired One, anything you want to say. That's what the word Jesus means. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I have not known a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Let's stop there a minute. Paul's talking to some people like you, or like us. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I now therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They, the ones that are trying to put laws or rules or something on you, including your own mind, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Same thing. Understand that?
Not quite.
Well, they were being drawn up, their minds and their being was being drawn away from the singularity of the miracle. No. How, you know, what did I just say? That this, the meaning, the purpose, the mitzvah, or the thing of this festival was? How great a miracle is done here? Well, anything that keeps your mind from that position is this thing that zealously affects you. Now he's calling your attention back to that singular issue until Christ be formed in you. Okay?
And what was that from, Paul?
Galatians 4. Now he said, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, so if you remember the story, there's a miracle also in John the Baptist, right? And John the Baptist was the Elijah to prepare the way. So again, now in my role to you is as Elijah or as John the Baptist, to prepare the way that you might, so that he might be brought forth. Okay. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. So she's leaving Nazareth. She's going down to Judah to visit
She's probably going to Bethany, by the way. But anyway, she's going down there to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. So that made Jesus, Mary, if Mary was related to Elizabeth, whose husband was not the high priest, but in the course of priests, and he had to be of the tribe of Levi, so that made Christ both from the tribe of Judah and from the tribe of Levi. But anyway. And she entered the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's... Hi, Liz. Huh?
Why don't you just see Mary? We're coming around the corner. Hi, Liz. And Liz just goes...
Right. And she spake out with a loud voice, said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Mm-hmm. That's pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And now Mary goes wild.
It's like a confirmation of the whole business from...
Now listen to what Mary says. But try to say these words in your own heart. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed great strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now, I want you to try to empathize, try to feel. And I want you to try to pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and give you that same witness, that same seal of the promise. Don't be afraid. Don't let your opinions about anything from now on affect your response to God, especially religious opinions. Nobody gives a shit. 100 years, what are your opinions going to mean? But I want you to experience with Mary that this night the Holy Ghost has come upon you and has placed in you this holy seed. And that the process from this point forth is inexorable. It has nothing to do with your conscious mind. Can you appreciate that a minute? That's why, you know, can you imagine what you guys think that you're in control? Talk to a woman that's pregnant. Talk to a husband of a woman that's pregnant. No, but what I'm speaking of in particular is try to grow that baby in there. Okay, no less a miracle which is we now take for granted, which we've seen many, many times over and over, now no less a thing has happened in you, except that now the Son of the living God is born in you. That's what the Feast of Hanukkah is about. There's all kinds of other stuff we'll study in the next couple days. It's some kind of interesting stuff. But this is the essence. This is the takeaway of Hanukkah, that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and has birthed God Himself in your flesh. That's what all this book is about. That's what the stars are about. That's what all ancient myths are about. That's what all science is pointing towards. That's what everything hopes for. That's the desire that you can't even articulate. Don't take it lightly anymore. Amen? But, you know, just for the sake of the tape thing, let's go through that again, that he was conceived in the Feast of Hanukkah. He was born in the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. He was baptized and then probably transfigured on the Feast of Yom Kippur. He changed the water into wine on the Feast of Tabernacles. He was crucified on the Feast of Passover. He was buried in the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. He rose from the dead in the Feast of First Fruits, and his seed or spirit was shed on all flesh in the Feast of Pentecost. And that's why when he said it's finished, that cycle was totaled, and so now you can rest. All the law and the prophets prophesied until John. Now it's complete. Now, one of the fascinating things that we'll get into a little bit more detail tomorrow, you remember when we studied the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness? That, you remember I told you it was, they built all these little parts, and they had hundreds of little goldsmiths doing stuff, and they built this and this and this, and then pretty soon they brought it all to Moses' front lawn and laid it there, and we didn't know what to do with it. It laid there for 3 months or more. And Mrs. Moses was really upset, as Harry says, "Is this one of your other dumb projects?"
"Well, are you going to finish the tabernacle today, Moses?" "The city came by and we
found the house." "I found this. Finish the tabernacle, Moses."
Okay, but the point of it is that it was, according to the Talmud, all the pieces of it were completed on the 25th of Kislew.
"Yeah, really? I know that's
which." "But it raised itself on the Feast of First Fruits." Do you understand? The tabernacle sat there for over 3 months.
Which symbolizes
us. We are that material which has been prepared, and we think, "Oh, but we know what to do with it." But then the tabernacle raises itself. And in the Hebrew, it's exactly, it says that. It raised itself. Okay?
25th of Kislev.
That's what it refers to.
Feast Hanukkah, the first day of the
Hanukkah.
Right.
We were
doing. Anybody have anything?
It's kind of a. It's not like a real happy time. Doesn't seem like it's kind of a solemn.
Well, there's too many. There's too much shit going on. I don't know what it is, but it's starting to get me mad. I mean, why? How can you let your mind control? How can your carnality come into, this is the perfect type. Everything, your opinions, your sensory perception of the thing that's set before you is now destroyed. This is why your carnality has to be taken to the cross. Did somebody hurt your feelings? Did you miscommunicate? Did something take place you don't like? Well, throw it out. Concentrate on the meaning of this feast. A great miracle has happened here. Look at that light. and see the power of God is resident within you that'll come forth. If you're trying to get fellowship or acceptance on any other basis, you are outside the camp anyway. Do you understand a little bit? Look at that light. That's the power of God. That's the light that's now resident within you. Now look at what you perceive with your senses. The same as Mary did. My God, there's nothing here. She probably didn't even have a climax.
I don't feel pregnant.
Do you understand how you can't trust your own senses? You understand how your desire to have fellowship under any other basis than that burning light that's within you is man-pleasing and must go to the cross?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, that's all I can say. If you want to continue in self, then you can do it. You can sit there and justify yourself till hell freezes over. You have this day, joy or carnality. Which do you want?
Joy.
Joy.
Well, let's have another glass of wine now.
we lost half the affiliates when you said she probably didn't even have a climax.
More wine.
What's funny is how I mentioned that today. I wonder if Mary would be a
yourself.
Oh, I'm sure you probably more carnivores.
Yo, Mary, this is gay. I'm not from here.
I'm a joke.
I'm not from here.
You know, what's a good Hanukkah hymn?
Tabernacle song.
The
tabernacle song.
Sounds like the spirits on the other front.
I want to get up.